Welcome to the Elementary Librarian Podcast, where we discuss simple tips and tricks to help you take your school library to the next level. And now your host, Jocelyn Sam.
Welcome, Elementary Librarian listeners, to another podcast. Today's subject is tips for getting parent volunteers in the library. And if you're anything like me, this is something that does not exactly come easy most of the time. And so I was on Facebook one day and I was talking to some different people about strategies that they use in their libraries. And I got a message from Laurie Lauver out in California, and she said, "Hey, I have some strategies for getting some parent volunteers into my library." And I said, "Hey, let's talk about this on a podcast." So, Laurie, I'm really happy to have you today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about parent volunteers because this is something that everyone needs and that many people find really, really difficult.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just one of those kind of things where there's never enough of them or never the quality that you need. And so when I found out that Laurie had some strategies for us, I said, yes, we need to talk about this ASAP. So here we are. And before we get started talking about parent volunteers, tell the listeners just a little bit about yourself, where you are, where you teach, how long you've been a librarian, any kind of other information that you would like for them to know.
Okay, this is my 8th school year, and I am I'm in Irvine, California. I'm at currently a K-8 school. It's brand new. This is our 4th year with the school, and where our enrollment actually is grades 5 through 8. And while we expand the neighborhood, I have 1,100 students at my school, and prior to that, I was at an elementary school that was a K-5. At my elementary school, I had 900 students, and that was where I really had the majority of my volunteers. Now that I'm at a middle school level, it's more I have student aides that report to the library for their jobs. So I have a couple of parent volunteers that I rely on a lot, but my elementary school, I had 30 to 35 parent volunteers at a time.
Okay. Yeah, do you find that it's harder at the middle school level to find parents that are willing to step in like that?
Yes, the middle school level is hard because even as a parent myself of middle school students, it's like they're to the point where sometimes parents feel like they're not as needed in the classroom or on the school. It's like drop them off and go to work. So parent volunteers in the middle school is hard to come by, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. And also just that they're involved in so many things. I mean, and they probably have other children as well. So it's probably hard to get some of those parents involved. Let's talk a little bit about how you discovered a need for a parent volunteer program when you first started out. Was there any particular frustration that you were experiencing or a particular event that you needed volunteers for?
So when I first began at my elementary school, it was 20 hours a week, and then I was moved up to 30 hours a week. So it's very part-time, one person, just me, that's it, in the four walls with 10,000 books. I had, at my elementary school, 32 classes of roughly 30 to 35 students per class. Each student checked out an average of 2 books, and they came every week for 30 minutes of library lessons, stories, and circulation all at the same time. So that was a huge undertaking. If you've got 30 classes of 2 books each, with 30, 35 kids in each one, it's a lot of shelving. So I had to have help with it because there was no way that I could do it all by myself. So,
yeah, I'd say not. I have a hard time with just 13 classes. I can't imagine having that many checking out.
Yeah, and it's a revolving door. And even at my school, my current school, I have 7 fifth grade classes. That's our only elementary grade level right now. And then I have grades 6, 7, and 8 that are the middle school. It's a revolving door. And I'm full-time now. And honestly, with my parent volunteers and now my student aides, I realistically have not really shelved books myself in a very long time, because I know that I have parents that can come in and just, they see it and they know what needs to be done and they just move right on it.
Yeah, that is amazing, because for me at the elementary level, I've just had a really hard time getting parents to commit, and there is a little bit of a learning curve involved. I mean, it's not the, you know, it's not rocket science to put books away, but
right.
If you don't have the same consistent volunteers, it's hard to take time out of your day to show them what to do, and that's a lot of the trouble that I've had in the past. And at the elementary level, you can enlist student help, but I don't know if you've ever done that.
But they're not very consistent, and
it's hard.
It is hard to keep the volunteers, and like I've always done at the beginning of the year, I do a parent orientation, you know, after we have back to school night. So I recruit my parent volunteers at back to school night from each of the teachers. I actually create a special sign-up sheet specific to the library, and on every sign-up sheet, I will say, your child's library time is at this time on this day every week, and I need one person per classroom. So sometimes I would get two or three people that would sign up for each class, or I would get at least one. And then once I had those names, then I would invite them to a parent orientation. And I would offer food. I mean, if you offer food, people come.
Exactly.
So, I would always, you know, bring in some kind of fruit or pastries or something, and introduce myself, show them around the library, talk about my special collections, you know, books that I have pulled out on different shelves, and even physically show them how to check out books and check in books, and obviously how to read the shelves and help to find where the books are and then where to put the books. So each parent volunteer that would come in was only responsible for their child's classroom shelving. So they would shelve the 60 to 75 books that their students would bring back each week.
That's an interesting idea. How did you keep them separated?
Well, the parent would come in, they would know, like I would start my classes starting at 8:15 in the morning. So parent number one would come 8:15 and be there for a half an hour till 8:45.
Oh, I see, like during the time that their child's class actually comes.
Right, they would volunteer
in
the library during the time that their child's class was in the library. And the kids always like to see the parents there, and the parents always like to know what their kids are doing at school.
And so when you did this sign-up form, was this something that went out in their open house materials, or is it something that the teachers helped you with?
So the teachers have in their classrooms at my school for back-to-school night, they have volunteer sign-up opportunities. Volunteers were not, typically are not in our district allowed to come or encouraged to come until after back to school night, because usually that's when the teachers are, you know, trying to get to know the students and get their classroom procedures aligned and everything. So volunteers typically didn't start until after back to school night, which is typically 3 weeks into the school year. So wherever the teacher in her classroom or his classroom would have their parent volunteer sign up sheet, then I would have a super colorful, very cute fonts and everything next to theirs. Help in the library. We need you. And so the parent, maybe they couldn't volunteer in the classroom to do whatever the time the teacher needed, or didn't want to take stuff home with them, because we did have parents taking stuff home. But you can't really take the library home to shelf in the library.
Right.
So sometimes I got a volunteer for every classroom over time. Like every classroom had at least one library assigned volunteer, and they would report them directly to me, and they sign up on their sign up sheet. And I would only put on the form three spots at top, you know, at the most, for them to put their name in. And that way I didn't wind up getting an excessive number of
right.
people.
Well, I like the way that you did that because I tried something similar during this school year. On our open house night, I had, well, in the state of Kentucky, actually, the county that I worked in, I'm not sure if the entire state is like this, but in the county that I work in, you have to pass a crime check before you can even come into the school for any kind of volunteer work or really anything. And so what I decided to do was a brief library orientation during the volunteer orientation. Like the general volunteer orientation, we sort of worked together. Like the volunteer coordinator did a 10-minute presentation, and I did a 10-minute presentation just saying, hey, I need some help in the library. And it was not as successful as I would have hoped, though.
Yeah. And we don't – typically the parents that would come into our schools to volunteer, you know, they're in the classroom, and I'm sure there could be maybe things that they should have done background checks on or not. But we've typically not had that issue. If they go on field trips or anything, then that's when the background checks and stuff. But the 30 minutes helping in the classroom and stuff, it's supervised. The teacher's in the room. They're not ever
right.
alone with the children. So it's not, they're not doing anything one-on-one with kids.
Right. Well, I've never had any issues as far as that goes. I mean, you know, for the most part, everybody's passing the background check. But
yeah,
I just thought
yeah.
that it might be a good idea to, like, do those together. But I kind of like what you're saying about doing a totally separate parent orientation. I think that would have been a better move for me.
And that was after I got the volunteer form. So the teachers would leave the volunteer form that I gave them the night of back-to-school night. They would then put it in my mailbox, and then I would accumulate an email or call each of the parents and invite them to an orientation. And I got a lot of attendance from that.
Yeah,
they
that's great.
Have their fruit and their danishes, and I would do it first thing in the morning when they were dropping their kids off at school, so it wasn't like they had to come back. So it was, you know, typically like fruit and danishes and whatever, but they would come. See them,
yeah.
They will come.
That's a good idea. I think that people listening, you know, they could find a way to do that in their school. And so I don't think that that's that much of an undertaking. So I do really like that idea, and I will definitely consider it in the future. Okay, so you said that your school is about 1,100 students, is that right?
My current school is 1,100 students. Yes.
Yeah, and I was actually kind of surprised by that because when you first told me about I have this great volunteer program, and I was like, yeah, I bet your school is about 200 students.
Oh, know? No.
So that's great. I mean, usually you think of a larger student body, like maybe you wouldn't have that many people that are super interested in helping. But, I mean, I guess it can go both ways. You know, you have a larger student body, you have more opportunities for volunteers, but at the same time, you don't know people as well. It's not as close-knit of a community, I'd say.
Yeah, and even though our population is 1,100, I think that it is a close-knit community. Everybody knows everybody. It's and that's something, like, for me that I strive to know every one of my students by name, and they're always so amazed when I see them because I live in the community. When I see them out in the public, and I'm like, oh, hi, Joe, or oh, hi, Sally, and they're like, you know my name? And so, so it is... And so I know some of the parents as well, that then also gets them in the library helping. You know, the library is an important part of the school. It's the central hub of our school.
Yeah, absolutely. So you talked about how you get them interested in volunteering and what kind of orientation program that you do. What about, and you mentioned how they do shelve the books during their child's library time. Are there other jobs that you have the volunteers work on? Do they help you with the book fair, anything like that, any library displays?
Okay, so I do all the library displays on my own, and they do help with book fairs that we offer twice a year. So the parents, The parents typically run the book fairs because I also keep the library open at that time during book fair weeks. And
bless your soul.
I just feel like I need to have it open for the kids. You know, that it's not.
Well, I hear you. If I had help, then I would be all for it.
Yes, and so I'm fortunate that I have help that they can do that, and I can still keep my library running. But I have a birthday book club program that I offer, and I would have one parent volunteer that would be in charge of the birthday book club. Mine at my current school is not as big as what it was at my elementary school. I know what I'm expecting from it, and so it is hard to find. I had a very special volunteer that did my birthday book club at my other school, and it's hard to find that special volunteer that would be willing to take on a huge task. So those were the special projects that they did. You know, birthday book club was a big one, and I have one volunteer that I've had for 8 years, every year that I've been in my schools. She comes once a week to help, and I have her help me with cataloging even and covering books and preparing the books, prepping them with the barcodes and the spine labels and test labels and everything. So with her, with this one volunteer that I've had, we've developed a relationship of trust, and I can turn some things over to her and know that they'll be handled the same way I would handle them. But in general, my volunteers typically are shelving and returning. They can scan books in. I do the circulation. I do the checkout. That's my one-on-one with the students. What are you reading? You know, what did you read? What did you think of that? That's when I have those conversations with individual students. So I get that, even if it's 30 seconds with that child, that's that one-on-one time I have with them. So the parent does the check-in and the shelving when they come to help with the classes.
Yeah, I think that's great. I would love to have somebody that I could trust that way. I've had a couple of really great people come in, but the school that I work in has quite an active parent volunteer base, but they're mostly active in their students' individual classrooms. I think a lot of times people don't think of the library as a place that really needs volunteers, I guess. And I'm not really sure why, but I guess.
And the library is our classroom. And our classroom, the library needs help just like the classrooms need help too.
Yeah, and I've seen some people starting to understand more, because when you start to do more and more programs in the library, people will start to realize it, and they'll say, hey, there's a lot going on in here. Maybe they need some help. And so I have been successful in getting some volunteers that way. My biggest problem is that the volunteers that I've been able to get are the same volunteers who do a lot of things for the school. And so they kind of get burned out pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah. I do thank my volunteers a lot, not to say that others don't, but I show appreciation during the holidays. I always make little goodies for them, and at the end of the school year, different, very inexpensive. I mean, at one point, 32 volunteers, that can get quite costly.
Yeah.
Even making for them sometimes adds up. So I try to do inexpensive, thoughtful gifts to make sure that they are appreciated and they know that I appreciate their help. And I always try to make sure I even stop for 10 seconds to say, hi, how are you? I'm glad you're here. Thank you for helping. And, they come back. They tend to come back.
Yes.
But it's hard to keep good ones.
Definitely. That's one area that I kind of struggle in, is the appreciation. It's not that I don't appreciate them. It's just we all get so consumed in our own lives and everything that's going on. And there was a time that I used to handwrite thank you notes for all my book fair volunteers, but even that just got to be just kind of overwhelming. in the most recent past. So, you know,
but even like book fair, I have, you know, I'll get up in the morning and I'll throw a coffee cake in the oven and I'll bake a cake and bring it in, and that'll be their breakfast in the morning, you know, when they get there. Usually at the beginning of the week. Thank you so much for coming, you know, enjoy this today, and we'll stick it in the fridge and you can have it again tomorrow if you want. And then maybe I'll get Subway sandwiches or something at the end of the week for lunch. Then and then that way you're not having to spend the time individually necessarily writing thank you notes for every one of them, but you're feeding them again.
Yeah, food goes a long way when we're appreciating people, I would say, definitely. That is a good idea, and I had considered it on one of my last book fairs, maybe having a breakfast, but the problem was getting everybody at the same place at the same time. I guess you shouldn't worry about that so much and just...
thank the ones that are there when they're there.
Yeah. So that's sort of where I got bogged down in it last time. And we do, as a school, recognize all of our volunteers with a special lunch at the end of the year. But even so, I think it's nice just to do a little something extra. I know a lot of schools, a lot of librarians will do either a book fair gift certificate or like a discount of some kind. And I have asked my volunteers about that in the past, but most of them say they would rather see that money go toward a student who needs to buy something, because I'm in sort of an unusual and good position where there are only 300 students in my school. So typically during a book fair, I will mark off each one with, or have a volunteer mark off each one with a highlighter who's bought something. And so I usually have enough money to go through and get everyone a little something.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So, and I have asked them in the past, you know, would you like a book fair gift certificate? And they will usually tell me, no, I want you to use it toward a student.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. That's very nice. Very generous.
Yeah, I don't know. I just hate to see them not be able to get anything. So
yeah. Well, I have made things for the parents that have not cost very much at all, that they are so grateful for. Even like the holidays, I love handprint things, especially with the elementary kids, with the little ones. Things made with their hands, you know, a handprint just goes so far. But it does take a little bit of time to prep it. But it's not expensive. It's just time. You know, you have to carve out that time for it. Different craft things that I've done. The holidays, like I did one year, I called in all the kids that it had, that their parents volunteered, and I had them put their handprint on a piece of cardstock, just white cardstock. So I painted their hand red, and I sat there and, like, one-on-one, painted their hand, washed their hand so that they didn't get it anywhere, made their handprint, and then cut them out, kind of rough, like it's just in a handprint shape. And then I went to our office supply store, and I had them laminated with real thick laminate. Actually, on the back of it, before I laminated it, I put a label that just said, thanks for giving me a hand in the library, and then signed it. And then I wrote the child's name and their age or their birthday or the year or whatever, so that they would remember how old the child was when that was done. And then had them laminated and poked a hole in it with a ribbon and a jingle bell, and there was their holiday ornament with their child's handprint.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, that's such a simple idea, but yet it's also just really powerful. I'm sure that they loved it, and I bet you hear about that still from people.
Yes. And then, you know, the end of the year, one year I went to Michael's just to a craft store, and I bought the wooden frames. They don't even have glass on them. They're just the plain wood dollar frames. And then I gathered the students again, and I took pictures of them. So if there were siblings, I would take a picture of both of the kids together. If they were singles, you know, obviously by themselves. but all the siblings together, and then I had them printed, you know, at Costco or Sam's Club, you know, for 20 cents or 15 cents in black and white. And I painted the wooden frame black and tied a piece of white ribbon around it and put the black and white picture in there. And tears when I gave them to the parents. They were so excited to get such a sweet picture of their kids. And most people don't take pictures of their kids and print them in black and white, but there's a different feeling when you look at a black and white picture as opposed to a color photo. And I still have parents come to me and say that's still their favorite picture of their kids from school. And that's very inexpensive. It takes time to paint the frames, but a lot of it is time. You know, you could do 30 volunteers for, you know, $40. You know, that it's not a huge investment.
Exactly.
But it goes a long way.
Yeah, definitely. I love those ideas. And I think that my listeners will really be able to take some things away from that. So thank you for sharing that with us. If I'm listening and right now it's sort of the middle of the school year, I'm not exactly sure when this show will air, but it'll probably be either toward the middle of this semester or so. If I'm listening to this and I don't really have a lot of success with parent volunteers, what would be just one or two simple things that I could do maybe in this school year or to prepare for the next school year? What would you recommend to people in that situation?
You could always submit a little email blast. I don't know, like at my school we send out weekend emails that go to the whole school. And I would include, you know, volunteer needed in the library if you have an extra half an hour a week or however long you're wanting a volunteer for. Include that in your weekend, your weekly email contact with the families. Most schools have websites. You know, I would put a little blurb on the website or even send home a bookmark with each student. You know, they're fairly inexpensive to make. Volunteer your time in the library, you know, help a child read, you know, something catchy. Even a school newsletter, you could create your own library newsletter. I've done that as well. Sending it home, like telling the parents how to access our catalog online or
yes,
how to check out books, or this is your child's username and this is how your child does this or that at our campus. You know,
yes, I do that. I do that several times a year. I think it's really important for library advocacy to let parents know that the library is a happening place at your school and it needs a separate newsletter. And I always send it home on really bright colored paper so that they know, hey, this is something unusual.
Right. And I have my own that I'll be opening actually in the next week, my own haiku page, my own website that'll be library based. So you could offer a reading night even at your school, a reading event, and get the parents in, have the parents bring the kids in their pajamas or whatever and have hot chocolate and read a book and then promote the library from that. And it wouldn't, again, not cost as much. A lot of the things, and I know time is money, but sometimes if you invest a little bit of time in getting volunteers, recruiting them, then you're rewarded in the time that you've gained because you've not had to do the extra work that your volunteers are able to pick up for you.
Right. Yeah. I think those are two really great ideas that people could take action on even during this school year.
Yes. Yes. And even on short-term notice at times too. You know, if you even a simple bookmark home saying, you know, I need volunteer in the library. If you're not able to email the community or tag on to a teacher's website or anything, then even sending a bookmark home with a child, parents are likely to see it.
Yeah, that I think those are just really spot on and that people really appreciate hearing that insight from you. So I really appreciate that. Lori, if people have questions about any of the things that we discussed on the podcast today, what would be the best way to reach you?
I have my school email, and I am also on Twitter. So I can give you that information.
Yes, and I will put all of that contact information in the show notes. So if you're listening in your car or wherever you may happen to be, just check out elementarylibrarian.com and just go to the main homepage and click on podcast, and you'll see all my podcast notes there.
Sounds great.
Okay. Well, again, Laurie, thank you so much. It's been a great conversation about parent volunteers, and I'm really excited about hearing how the listeners are able to implement your ideas, and I wish you a lot of success in the rest of the school year.
Thank you very much. You too. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast about finding volunteers as much as I did recording it. If you have any fantastic ideas that maybe we didn't touch on during the podcast and you would like to tell the elementary librarian audience about those ideas, please just leave a comment on the show notes. This is podcast 15, so you just go to elementarylibrarian.com/podcast15, and we would love to hear from you. Don't forget about my upcoming podcast. I have some outstanding shows that I cannot wait to share with you that are coming up. This is a bi-weekly show, and usually comes out on a Monday, so just be on the lookout for upcoming episodes. You can subscribe to my podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. If you just go into either of those and look up the Elementary Librarian Podcast, there is a place to subscribe to that. And if you get a chance, I would love for you to review the podcast on either iTunes or Stitcher. Let me know if you are liking it and what I can do to improve it, and just to improve the search traffic of the show, if someone's looking for a library podcast, that if this is helpful to you, that they might find it helpful as well. So also be on the lookout for an upcoming contest that I'm going to be having for a video recommendation or a video review of my lesson plans. I'm looking for some people to put those together for me, and I'm going to have some pretty awesome prizes for people who do. So stay tuned for that. Be on the lookout. Thanks again for listening, and I hope that you have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Elementary Librarian Podcast, brought to you by elementarylibrarian.com.